Our hearing. The next item on today's agenda, which is the Tracyton plat. We'll hear first from the planning department, then the applicant, and then we'll open it up for public comment. Is the planning department ready to go? Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name for the record?
My name is Jeff Smith.
And you're with the planning department?
Yes, I am.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Hey, my name is Jeff Smith. I'm representing Department of Community Development. I have over 20 years of planning experience reviewing these type of projects. The proposal today will provide additional homes for future residents or existing residents in Kitsap County. Linden Land Investments, LLC, has made a request for a subdivision for approximately 6 acres into 19 standard residential lots. It'll include for the detached housing, use the existing access off of Tracyton Boulevard. The proposal will use public sewer, public water. The request includes open space, recreational amenity, be a preserved area for stream, wetland, and associated buffers. The proposal is reviewed pursuant to Title 16, Title 17, and Title 12, and Title 19 for critical areas. The hearing examiner is the review authority to make a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners. However, the board does approve the final plat of.
Yeah, I had a question on this, and I just for the record, I'd sent an email and two procedural questions on this to the planning department, I think, on Tuesday. Under the chart in Title 21, it looks like I make the decision, and certainly rather than a recommendation. And then on the final plat, of course, the review process is different. But on the preliminary plat, I'm making the decision on that rather, as opposed to a recommendation. Have I got that right?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. If it's not working, it's fine if you want to just go from the paper copy of that.
It worked last night.
Yeah. There we go.
Sweet. Okay, thank you. Here's an aerial view.
And just before you get started, this is a PowerPoint, right?
Okay,
and so this, I don't think this is listed here, so it would be, we've got exhibit 35, and just, I received staff report and including 34 exhibits.
Yes.
Those were all admitted, and so this, the PowerPoint will be exhibit 35.
Okay. The subject property is located north of Tracyton Boulevard, and it's located between Stampede Boulevard, and this is Tracyton Boulevard going north-south. Directly, or well, not adjacent to this subject property, is the Olympic High School. As I'll clarify, this is Mosher Creek runs this direction. It borders the western side of the property and then drains down to Dyes Inlet for about a third of a mile. So the property is located at 6394 Tristan Boulevard and has another address of 6398 Tristan Boulevard. Access is off Tristan Boulevard. This is the subject property under consideration. Comprises of two tax lots. Has a flag feature, and there's a notch here that includes dedication for a culvert replacement. But the roadway will come in here and then go along and up and provide access to these two properties up here as well. As I stated earlier, the Mosier Creek runs along the west side. Mosier Creek is considered a fish stream. Includes hydric soils on the property, and so includes a fish stream and then a type 2 wetland on the west side associated with the creek. And the topography is rolling. The declivity is running from the north to the south. The property includes a variety of vegetation, conifers and understory vegetation. There are remnants of existing drain field. There's a house located in this general vicinity and then one down in this area. There is a well that's located approximately right in the center of the property, and it serves the single family home directly to the north. And the developer is planning to disconnect that and serve that neighbor and decommission the well at this point in time. Property has a comprehensive plan designation of urban low residential, and then has a zoning of urban low residential, which falls within that designation. It's urban restricted or urban low residential. This is more representational of the property line. The property line follows the center line of the creek, so the registration is off of the creek. It's located in the central Kitsap urban growth area. However, it is served by the city of Bremerton for water service, and it's served by Kitsap County for wastewater. This is a plat map showing the layout, general buildable area of the single family units. This shows the actual creek line, and here's the wellhead right here. And this property is a 40-foot easement. And the property owner to the south commented through the NOA process, notice of application process, that the property or the roadway crossed his property. So the applicant made provisions to remedy that situation and acquire an easement to make sure that they had legal access onto Tristan Boulevard.
Okay. Was that Mr. Ishihara's comment?
Mr. Goish?
Goishka, okay. Huh? I didn't see a written comment from him, but...
No, it was through telephone calls.
All right. But that issue has been taken care of.
It's been taken care of.
Okay.
As indicated earlier, there, Public Works has been involved with replacing the culvert that goes underneath Tristan Boulevard. They've allocated over $360,000 to replace that. The project is due to be completed in 2018. It's going to be more of a, like a bridge culvert versus right now it's an 18-inch corrugated pipe that's outlived its usefulness.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a fish blockage. So the salmon will have more of an opportunity to travel north through this riparian area and up this direction towards the high school. There isn't any high quality habitat around the high school, but just to the south of there, there's a pretty good vegetation and riparian area. The property is bordered to the east by the Sydney subdivision and the Stampede subdivision, and there's also a subdivision located right here on the corner. Otherwise, it's bordered to the south by rural residential property to the south on larger parcels, and also to the west, as well as more to the southeast. The project was reviewed for consistency with the development regulations in Title 16 and Title 17. There is some overlap between the development standards, single family standards, and 17 as well as 16, but
mm-hmm.
I'll highlight on the urban standards in 16.24.040. And the proposal has been for access, it's been reviewed, and it appears that this project has good access. However, they're going to have to do verification of the site distance at construction that they can see based on travel speed and the geometry of the intersection onto Tristan Boulevard. The proposal will include off-street parking and on-street parking. There'll be approximately 10 spaces on street. Within that 30-foot drive area, even though it's a 40-foot easement. And that's consistent with the code. One of the requirements, too, is to provide an open space area or rec facility based on its 19 units or more. You have to provide a rec facility, and the applicant's providing 7,000 square feet, approximately, of rec area, and that's consistent with Kitsap County Code. And another requirement is to provide street trees. Right now, the applicant has just included the vegetation around the wetland and Hansman areas, but during the site development activity permit, the applicant will be required to submit a final landscape plan showing any landscaping around the entrance, and if there's any signage, it'd be around that at the base too. But there'll be street trees about at approximately 25 feet on center up the roadway, and they could be either planted on the property, or there's going to be a separated sidewalk from the roadway because they're using a thickened edge of as far as a vegetated strip about 2.5 feet between the curb and the sidewalk. And that might be an opportunity for planting trees in that area, as long as they don't interfere with fire's car door opening. The fire marshals reviewed the project and found it consistent with fire protection standards. There's adequate fire apparatus access. Want to clarify too that the wetland is a category 2. It's a forested scrub, and there will be a 100-foot buffer required for the wetland, and then there'll be 150 feet buffer for the creek. and that's reflected, and that will be, the rec facility will be outside that buffer. So that would make it where at 6 acres, over half the site will be in preserved area that for those particular critical areas, for about 3 acres. So far as under section 16.040080, general provisions for appropriate facilities, staff has reviewed it, and it does comply with the comprehensive plan, meeting the net developable density requirements between its 8 dwelling units per acre. So it falls between 5 and 9 required by the zone. It's consistent with the goals and policies outlined in the comprehensive plan. And one of the requirements is that the applicants to provide safe walking facilities or provide safe walking conditions within the plat, internal to the plat, and then also along Tristan Boulevard. Right now, Tristan Boulevard has the right-of-way is kind of wonky. It's really narrow along the frontage. Otherwise, it's about 60 feet. So they're going to be dedicating frontage along that that flag portion that I showed earlier. And based on the standard, there's usually trees required along a minor arterial. But because this is all natural vegetation buffer, it doesn't make sense to provide street trees along that area. Because there'd be more damage created by putting those in, and it wouldn't be conducive to that normally. So this is the overall site plan showing the open, delineating the open space and how the street's going to be laid out. Stormwater easement's going over here. The pump station's going to be located at this general area. And this is the well to be decommissioned. Wanted to definitely make it clear that this is project is has being served by private roads. There'll be a private stormwater system. There'll be the open space component, and really important to make it clear that there'll be a homeowners association that will be formed, required by Kitsap County Code to maintain these areas, and the people who are living in within this development will be responsible for maintaining and paying for the cost of that maintenance. So the department did issue, the responsible official did issue an MD&S, mitigated determination of non-significance on this. And the appeal period ends on May 3rd, 2018.
Yeah, that was my second question that I had alluded to on the email that I'd sent on Tuesday on addressing that issue. I assumed, well, we'll need to wait for it. Normally, you'd consolidate everything, and that so we have to continue the hearing regardless of what happens today to at least. Well, probably to the next. Well, I'll decide at the end exactly how to deal with it. But I think the hearing has to be continued. Certainly, we'll keep the record open through the close of that appeal period. I think it's May 3rd.
Staff recommends to continue this to May 3rd, and then continue it to, I think it's May 24th.
Okay.
Is the next hearing.
Okay.
So if there's any appeals, then that would be heard then.
Okay. I think that's what we'll do. I'll make the final call if I hear anything else on that. But.
Okay, so staff recommends approval with the conditions in the MD&S and the 52 conditions in the staff report.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else from the planning department before we move to the applicant?
No.
Okay, is the applicant here?
Hi, my name is Jim Jim Laughlin, and I'm representing the applicant. He could not be here today.
Okay.
I've been representing most of the time with the county.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. I don't have too much to add to Jeff's comments. I just need to maybe point out that the new roadway is going to follow an existing driveway, and we chose to do that because other proposals within this property had built new roads and done all kinds of other stuff, and this was essentially the most sensitive way of dealing with the existing condition, and especially without disrupting the access to the two properties that are behind the plat. It's going to be somewhat tricky to build a road and still maintain, you know, reasonable access for the people who live just to the north of this property.
Okay.
It's interesting, you know, we chose to do a standard plat. We could have done a performance-based development and increased the density and had much smaller lots, but we felt that that would be more of an impact on the sensitive areas to the west of the property. And this is a little is as close as you can come to being more or less compatible with the surrounding area. The one thing that came up during this whole process was regarding that flag that extends 30 feet, or it's 30 feet wide along Traceden Boulevard. And the applicant will be dedicating that 30 feet to the county because the current county right-of-way is only 30 feet in that area. But in the process, the applicant's been asked to make frontage improvements beyond that new fish culvert that the county's putting in. And the applicant feels that that's a little bit of a excessive requirement, since if he does the frontage improvements, it won't be his property that he's improving. The property that he dedicates to the county will become the county property, and he'll be improving the frontage for the neighbor to the west. And that seems to be maybe an imposition, or not quite equitable in the scheme of things. So that's not something that we've, you know, I'm just mentioning that now for your consideration. He's included it in the plans. We wanted to get to hearing and move forward with the project. So that's just something I'd like to bring up. I don't think there's anything else really super important to bring up. We are putting a sewer lift station in, and I believe even though the roadways and all the facilities within the project are being maintained by the homeowners, I believe that the county will be responsible for the lift station that's installed. We will have to dedicate that to the county, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll get clarification from planning on that.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. Other than that, are there any questions?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Why don't we open this up for public comment, and then I'll have a couple back clarification for the planning department on the sewer lift station. So is there a sign-in sheet? Is there anyone on there? I know we have one person who's been waiting, so. Yeah, thank you. Are you okay on parking? I know there's a two-hour limit on some of those spots. There is not a validation process. Why don't you go ahead and go first? You've been waiting, so if you'd like to, and I'll, the sheet's blank anyway. So.
Do I have to come up here?
Yes, because I have to catch what you say on the microphone, and
okay.
Otherwise there'll be trouble. So, your name?
Don Gosky.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay, my question is, I have a couple questions. Now, I talked to him, Mr. Lindell, and he's easy to get along with. I'm the property to the south, there's a line of trees along the property line. He said he'd take them down. He didn't have a problem with that. But
are you talking about the property owner?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he said something about the county might have them leave them there. And that's my problem.
So you want them taken down is what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, because they've been topped.
Mm.
And when he takes all the trees off his property to put the development in, that leaves those trees. And they're already been topped and they're dangerous. And so he said he'd take them down, but it was up. He had to wait for the county to figure out if he wanted to leave the buffer there.
Okay. We'll get some clarification from planning on that question.
Okay.
Exactly what the plan is there.
Then my next question is kind of, it doesn't have nothing to do with him either, because I've granted him easement across my property
mm-hmm.
so he could do his development. But there's another gal that lives up there to the east that's actually landlocked herself property. She owned two pieces and sold one, and now she has no access to her other one. And she's talking to him.
The property owner?
Yes, mm-hmm. about getting access up there. Well, now that I've granted him access, does that mean she gets access to go back up to her property without talking to me again? Because I've already gave him an easement, does that mean he's got a right to give it to anybody else or what? That's my question.
Okay. I do not at this time know the answer to that. So, but if planning department has anything to add on that, I'll let them do that.
Okay.
But it does seem to me that is there definitely is a public policy against creating landlocked properties. So that does seem like an issue that.
I can't figure out how she did it, but she did it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here from the public who wished to testify today? Okay, let the record reflect that there is not. We'll turn this back over to the planning department for any follow-up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, Steve Heacock. And I'm still under oath.
Yes.
So, in relation to tree safety, when we have projects like this, it's typical at the site development activity permit review component that if there's any tree safety concerns that are going on in relation to neighbors, we typically look at that time. So if there are trees that have been topped and altered, they are typically not a safe tree. Topping trees is not a good practice. The county understands that. And so if there are particular trees that need to be taken down for safety purposes, if the applicant has worked that out with a nearby landowner, we would probably just review that. And then if there were anything in relation to buffers, we would require those buffer areas to be replanted. So that has happened many times in the past, and we certainly would be able to look into that. So we'll okay. keep that in our review, if you will, of the SDAP. We'll make a note of that. One more thing for the purposes of Mr. Laughlin brought up in relation to existing roads. We do encourage existing roads that are in buffers. If they're in a wetland or stream buffer, and as long as there's ways to mitigate those particular impacts, we have a very good mitigation plan for this particular project. We do encourage that, and our code does state that as well, that if there is a roadway that's existing, we encourage the applicant to use those roadways, those existing roadways. It's absolutely critical that we identify areas if they're an existing encroachment, if you will, into a buffer, that as long as we can provide mitigation for that it's supported by our code. So I want to relay that. And then one more item that's in the SEPA decision as a mitigation measure although not specifically required, we are encouraging the landowner in relation to this existing well to work out an arrangement with the recipient of this well, which I believe is off-site. And we encourage that that well be decommissioned. We had asked the health district to provide a little guidance on that. There is a procedure for decommissioning wells. And as the well is so close to the creek itself, for creek flow purposes, it's beneficial to have a well taken offline. And so we did note that in the decision. That's it.
Okay. There was a question about the landlocking of a parcel. I'm not sure I've...
Oh. I don't think I can speak to that, but I believe that Candace here in our department can talk to that.
Okay.
Yes.
And the record will be open on this,
yeah.
So there's an opportunity for further clarification on
Excellent.
That. Excellent. But did she want to... Okay. So yeah, that's cool. All you have for
okay.
right now.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your name for the record?
Candace Vickery.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do. I am with the Department of Community Development. Currently, the major part of my duties revolve around review for stormwater matters. However, my previous job with the department was more related to survey matters. So, in that aspect, I have had experience and knowledge in dealing with easements, access easements. And usually when I speak about easements, I start off with a disclaimer that I am not an attorney. Easements are considered a private matter between private parties. To address your question about if the easement that he has granted can then grant use to this other party. It really depends on how the easement was structured. If it was designated as a non-exclusive easement, the property owner of the Tracyton Greens plat, as I understand it, can grant use to other parties of that easement. So I've not seen the easement document and I don't know how it's structured, but it really kind of depends on the language in the easement. As far as the landlocked parcel, from the description given, it sounds as though the woman owned two parcels and sold one, which then landlocked the other. With the sale of the parcel, it would have been wise for her to include an easement to what is now the landlocked parcel, or reserve an easement for that parcel. So
it sounds like
that didn't occur.
That sounds like more of a private matter.
Rather,
I just didn't want to make. I wouldn't want this decision to exacerbate in some way another problem, even though it might be it's. May have been created outside of this process, but I wouldn't want this particular proposal to somehow make it worse.
Yes, and yeah. I agree with that. And it is indeed a private matter. So how it all relates to this plat would definitely need some further looking into.
Okay. Thank you.
I have just been handed the easement document.
Okay.
The easement agreement grants a perpetual non-exclusive easement for ingress, egress, and utilities. So
non-exclusive,
that
yeah.
Gives okay. you any further information.
Do we want to add that to the record as... Oh, it's already in there. Okay. Here we go. Thank you. Anything else from the planning department on this? Okay. So, as discussed earlier, what we will do, because of the CEPA appeal, we will keep the record open on this through close of business on May 3rd. Close of business means 5 o'clock p.m. for any electronic submissions, but check on the closing date, on the date the department closes, you know, the physical facilities if you're going to submit written comment, because sometimes that's before 5 o'clock. But for any electronic submissions, those would go to the hearing examiner clerk by 5 p.m. on May 3rd. The record will close on May 3rd unless there is a SEPA appeal. If there is a SEPA appeal, then the record will remain open through, I think, May 24th. Is that the next? Okay, that would be the next available date. And the hearing will be continued to May 24th. So a little unusual, but I think that's probably the most practical way to deal with that. And then in terms of my decision on this, that will be out within either 10 business days of May 3rd, or if there is an appeal, then there will be a different deadline for my decision, which we'll sort out later. So I think that addresses that. Anything further on this matter? Okay. All right. I think we're closing the hearing at least for today for this. As I mentioned, it's being continued to May 3rd. But we are now ready to proceed to the appeals. But I think we should take a very brief recess in order to set everything up for the Shoreline, or for the SDAP appeal that I'm hearing today. Thank you.